All right, well, so Mirtz Hashem, tonight we're going to resume. We had a little bit of a hiatus. We're going to get back now, Mirtz Hashem, to our Hilchos Shabbos Chaburah. What we're going to try to really do is go through all 39 of the malachas. So remember, again, we've done different malachas at different times. So I'm going to skip around a little bit. So in the beginning, I thought we'd go like kind of in the order of the way they were done in the Mishkan. But this is, we're going to try a little bit, something a little bit different. We're using Rav Eliezer Melamed's Sefer called Panini Halacha, which is a really fantastic Sefer. Just good, concise, contemporary with still earlier sources as well. Also in English, by the way, Panini Halacha, Rav Eliezer Melamed. I don't know if the English is like a straight translation, or if it's a paraphrase, but he has it like on all areas of halacha, and really a profound, profound work. So okay, so now, over the next couple of weeks, Emir Tashem, we're going to be focusing on the malachos of kosev and mocheg, writing and erasing. So tonight what we'll try to do is give a little bit of background to this, and then Emir Tashem get into some halacha lamayisa as well. So look what he writes, ksiva mechika. So on page, it's titled page 45, right by the aleph, ksiva mechika. So he writes as follows, meleches ksiva, so first of all, also his Hebrew is really, obviously his Hebrew, I was going to say his Hebrew is really great. All right, he's really, I'm just saying the Hebrew actually obviously very nice. He says the malacha of ksiva is a malacha, listen to how he frames it, is a malacha that creates the actualization of an idea in a very specific way. What does that mean? Ayde osios o misparim o tsura ba'ala mashmos. So ksiva is a malacha. In other words, what does a person accomplish through ksiva? So they go out and they take an idea that lives in their head and they give that idea expression. How do you give it expression? Either through letters or through numbers or through meaningful images. Kidei, she is kaim harayon zman rav. In order that the idea will have some level of what we'll call perpetual actualization. Like in other words, when a thought is actually a little bit like of hashkaf also in this, when a thought lives in my mind, so remember again, it's there, but the truth is it comes, it goes. When you write something down, that thought leaves your head, goes onto the paper, and then remains there in perpetuity. You know, it's interesting. You know, I always like, I laugh a little bit. It's not as much now, but it used to be, there was a while where like, there was like a new sefer by Rabbi Soloveitchik, like every couple of months. The interesting part was he had passed away a long time ago, right? So it's interesting how somebody was publishing posthumously. So people don't necessarily know that. And Rabbi Soloveitchik was very reticent to write during his lifetime. He really didn't commit things to writing. The reason for that, interestingly enough, was because the Rav said that when you write something down, it has a permanence to it. The Rav felt that his thought process was constantly evolving and constantly changing. So because of that, he was often reticent to commit things to writing. Obviously, after he passed away, okay, so there were volumes and volumes of notes that were then put in. Okay, so in any event, that's ksiva. That's, so again, both say, so the definition of the malacha of ksiva is taking an idea and giving an idea expression and perpetual actualization through letters, numbers, or meaningful images. Good. Okay, now, where does this come from? The Mishkan, how you remember again, like we always say, all malachos have to trace themselves back to the Mishkan. So the Mishkan, how you kosim osios ala krashim, kidei sheyedu tamid eze keresh tzarech, lahamid bitzad safon, ve'eze bitzad daron, eze rishon bitzad safon, ve'eze sheni bitzad, v'chem b'kolat stadim. So remember again, when they put up the Mishkan, the walls of the Mishkan were comprised of krushim, of boards. So remember again, there was an interesting halacha, which was you had to put the boards in the same place every time. So how do you know which board goes where? So they would number them and letter them. So it's interesting. So it sounds like what Rabbi Laman is saying is, which is actually very interesting, so they would write first, you know, north, so that way you would know, you know, which boards go on the north, and then write, you know, north 1, north 2, north 3. So again, now I know which direction they go on and which number they are in the progression. He goes on, he says, upon me. Now again, so that's the understanding. So where was ksiva? Where was writing done in the Mishkan? It was done to order the krushim, to order the boards for the Mishkan. So that, I'll just point out, just as an aside, it's interesting that so the Sfarim bring down that the mitzvah of Sukkah is Zecher LeMishkan. So based on that, it is actually a custom to dafka put up the walls of the Sukkah in the same way every year. right? Dafka, the same planks or the same, I guess it really only applies like the planks or the, planks should go in the same place, really like the Mishkan. Okay, he goes on to Pamim. So now, that's Kosev. So where is, now remember, Kosev and Mochek, writing and erasing, are sister Malachas, the two sides of the same coin. So if writing was done in order to go ahead and decide or identify which crushing we're going where was Mochek done? He goes on, he says, Upamim, Shetel Bedavar, sometimes they made a mistake. And what happens? Sometimes when they were ordering the boards, they made a mistake. It was supposed to be, north number two. They wrote south number one or north number three. So what do they have to do then? What do they have to do? They have to erase. They have to erase. And now remember again, now here's what's very important. They erase, but what was the point of the erasure? What was the point? In order to write something new. That's why, interestingly enough, we're going to see that in Hilchos Shabbos, the definition of the malacha of erasing is not simple erasing. The definition of the malacha of erasing is mechika amnas lichtov, erasing in order to write. Erasing in order to write. V'zoi malachas mochek, hainu mochek amnas lichtov osios acheros. So that's the whole idea. We go ahead and we erase, but the erasure is done in order to go ahead and write something new. Okay, so now we have our definitions. So again, definition of kosev is the taking of an idea and giving it perpetual expression through the use of letters, numbers, or meaningful symbols. Mochek, if you made the wrong meaningful letter, number, or symbol, and you erased it in order to write again, that's mochek. Good. L'chora, now the truth is, you think about it, so it sounds like the malacha of Kosev is like a pretty simple, straightforward malacha. Ulam be'emes, hi atashtis lepo'alo shel adam. This is actually very interesting. But rather, in the malacha of Ksiva, is really the fundamental underpinning of all dynamic human activity. How so? Kama shiyeye chacham u'bal zikaron, right? Even if a person has a photographic memory, still, if you can imagine, they were putting up and taking down the Mishkan, the ability to know exactly which board went where was probably virtually impossible. You had to write it down. Good. He says, so here's what's incredible about the Malacha of Ksiva. This is just very interesting. So Malamed says, even though it sounds like Ksiva is a very simple, straightforward Malacha, it's a complex, actually profound Malacha. Why? Because without Ksiva, you can never really go ahead and replicate that which you want to accomplish. In other words, no matter how good of a memory you have, without writing things down, it's impossible to go ahead and replicate things in the ideal way you want to. It is through the malacha of writing that ultimately, again, a person is allowed to see the actualization of his ideas and order in his life, which is really quite interesting, right? Without writing, there is no seder. Without writing, there is no ability to really articulate or really actualize ideas in perpetuity. Incredible. Okay. Kedisha medi yemeduyak, tarach lepanem limchok osios mutos, amenas lichtov bimkomanas osios anachonos. So remember, sometimes you're writing something, you make a mistake, and in order for the writing to be exact, you have to erase in order to make room for that which you really want to write. Gam kishayesh, page 46. So he goes on, he says, Gam b'sheshin b'niyar kesem. Let's say, for example, there is a stain on a piece of paper. Hamochik oso kedei lichtov sham osios over amalechas mochik. So by the way, I'll give you an interesting example of this. Let's say you have a piece of paper, and there's wax that falls on the paper. Right? Let's say, I don't know, you had your Hanukkah candles, right? So you're old school, right? You're using your multicolored Hanukkah candles, right? Those things drip like no one's business, right? So what happens? It drips on a piece of paper. So on Shabbos, so now what happens? Now on Shabbos, I see that there. And some of the people just like fidget. I scratch off the wax from the piece of paper. Rabbi Laman says, that is mochek. That is the malacha of erasing, right? Why is it the malacha of erasing? Why? Because now I'm readying the space for writing. In other words, so the malacha, what's interesting about this is as follows. Although the paradigmatic example of mochek is, I wrote something mistaken, I'm erasing that very mistaken item in order to go ahead and write something new, but you could extrapolate, you could expound upon it. And pretty much, the melacha of mochek is any time you erase in order to ready a surface for future writing, that's called mochek.
You don't need kavana. Is this like a
4-0
case where you accidentally...
Oh, so we'll get, right. So this is leaving aside kavana right now. Correct. In other words, that like, if that was not my intention, like in other words, if I was just spacing out and my nail just... So that's misase, right? That's not even correct. So it's not going to generate liability. He's more talking about definitionally, right? Because remember, in the first part of this, he's really defining mochik in a very narrow way. I wrote something, right? Again, the board was supposed to be north side number 2. I wrote south side number 1. Okay, so I'm going to erase that in order to write something there. So you might have thought that the melacha of mochik is only if you're erasing something that you created in order to create something new. Ramalam is just adding on is, even if there's something there, and that thing that's there, he calls it a stain, so I use the example of a wax, is preventing you from writing there, removal of that quote-unquote stain to enable it now to be a writable surface is mochek, right? Whether or not there's liability is going to depend on a lot of other things, but that's the malacha.
But they have the boards in Michigan, do they have to write north one every single time? Or
no, one time.
You write it one time,
there. Correct.
So erasing won't even come into the picture because you write down north one.
No, but let's see.
And it stays like that forever.
No, but let's say you wrote down the wrong thing on the board. What was first, supposed to be north one?
The very first time.
Correct. So instead of writing north one, you wrote south two. So there's erasing. Right, probably. I don't know. Right, over the time in the, did they have to replace boards? Right, I would imagine so. I would imagine so. Right. But even if it's just the first time,
let's say you've got mud of it and you covered it, clearing it away. Not really.
It's something else, yeah. Because that might be a different malacha, which we'll discuss, which could potentially be smoothing out wood, smoothing a surface, memachik. That wouldn't be mochik, because remember, again, there, you're not removing something to create a new space for writing. There, you're removing something that's obstructed. You want to see the writing that's there. I'm not replacing the writing. I want to see what's there. All right, so he goes on. He says, hamochik oso, kedei lichtov sham. Kedei lichtov sham osios. Over amalechas mochik. So again, if you remove the wax in order to ready the surface for writing, that's the malacha of mochik. Shebemichi kaso hechsher samakom leksiva. Because again, so we'll say this is now an expansion of the definition. Up until now, I thought the malacha of mochik was simply erasing letters. Now it turns out that halacha lemaisa, removing anything which would obstruct me from writing on a surface, removal of that obstruction by definition is the malacha of mochik as well. So he goes on, he says, pamim. Now the common denominator so far in everything that we've seen by mochek is the idea that it's only called mochek if you're readying the surface for writing. Now Rav Melamed writes, sometimes, pamim, she'etzim ha-mechika gam kishol l'shem k'siva, nechshev es melacha. Now, this is very interesting. There are times where if you erase something, even not for the purpose of going ahead and writing something on top, you could still be in violation of the melacha. This is actually a fascinating. Where does that come up? This is fascinating. Kigon shekasav b'sefer Torah os miuseres v'rak la'achar sheyimchuku osa ya sefer kasher. This is incredible. Let's say, the sofer wrote an extra letter in the sefer Torah. So instead of writing bereshis, he wrote bibereshis, an extra base. So what's the halacha? With that extra base, that sefer Torah is pasul. So now let's say he erases that base on Shabbos. Now here's what's interesting. Is that the paradigmatic case of erasure? No, why not? Because the truth is, fakir. Like, I don't want to write anything else there. In other words, I just want to remove the letter. So what Ramalamed is pointing out of is something very interesting, which is the real definition of mochek is an act of erasure which readies the item for something it was not usable for before. So like in a typical case, right, let's say again, so in the case of the boards, I wrote the wrong location on the board. So now again, I need to erase in order to now make that space usable to write the right location on the board. Or again, yeah, so that's the, but now what Ramalamed is saying is like this. If you erase, if something in its current state is not usable, and through the erasure it becomes usable, that's also called mochek. Right? So there's three, almost like three different categories of mechika. There's what we'll call typical or paradigmatic mechika. I wrote the wrong thing on a surface. I erase that in order to write the right thing. That's typical, paradigmatic case. Case one. Case two, there's something on the surface obstructing me from writing, like the wax. I remove the wax in order to make the surface usable. Mochek. And case three is something is not presently usable for its designated function. And through the act of erasure, it now becomes usable. For example, the Sefer Torah is an extra letter. With the extra letter, it is possible. It's not usable. I erase the letter. The Sefer Torah suddenly is usable. That's called mochek. And again, the chiddush, especially in that last case, is remember in the previous two cases, I'm going to write. In other words, the act of erasure is going to be followed by an act of writing. In case number three, I don't want to write. Right? With the Sefer Torah, in the case number three, I actually just want to remove the letter and I want to leave the space blank. That's also called mochek. Fascinating. He goes on. Gam ksiva, it's very interesting. Gam ksiva, alidei chosemes, nechsheves ksiva. So to stamping. Stamping, in other words, creating an image through stamping is also called mochek. Ve'im baza hevdel, im ochsena chosemes biyad yamin, osmo. Now here's what's interesting, because we're going to talk about this more before, that if, let's say, you write with the wrong hand, whatever, let's say I'm righty, and I write with my left hand, so that's going to be a shinui, you could relegate it to the status of the Rabbanon. That's only true with writing. With stamping, it doesn't make a difference which hand you use for stamping. Right? Which makes sense, because remember, as we said before, the malach of kosev is not just writing, but the malach of kosev is the creation of any meaningful image. Right? So therefore, again, the act of stamping is creation of a meaningful image. So whether you stamp with your right hand, stamp with your left hand, doesn't make a difference. Shekein, b'shtei hayadayim noach lachton, because people commonly stamp things with their right or their left hand. V'chein, haf'alas mechunas hadfasa, o mechunas hataka, o shlichas fax. Some of you may have heard about that. Some of you are young enough, ask your parents, right? Right, right, but lamaisa. So very interesting. Anything that essentially creates meaningful images. Use of a copy machine. Now, I'll say to yourself, a copy machine, you've got electricity. So remember, again, we saw, I think we're actually going to go back and do it because I don't know that we finished the whole section of electricity on Shabbos, which is a fantastic piece of Ramah Lamed has, a fantastic section. I think we're going to have to go back to it. But leaving aside the electricity piece, the act of using a copy machine will also be the malach of kosev. Very interesting, right? Because you're causing things to be writing. Or the sending of a fax. Asura mehatora. So let's say again, using a copy machine on Shabbos, leaving aside the electricity piece, will be the malacha of kosev. A hand crank, right? What are they called? What were those old ones like? The stencil? Mimeograph. Right, mimeograph. Shai, so if you're going to take that, so literally that's the malacha of ksiva. Even though, again, I'm not writing, but I'm causing the creation of letters. Gevan, shayidea pu'ulos halalu, nichtivu osios otsuros balas mashmos. Since, again, through these activities, I am causing the creation of meaningful letters, or images. Okay. Now, listen, I look at this last paragraph here on page four. Well, before we get to base.
Sticker.
I'm sorry? Also, sticker we're going to talk about. Sticker is going to be a big discussion. We'll get to that. V'chein. Asr lahaklid osios mechashev. You can't type on a computer. Now, again, we're leaving aside any of the electricity issues over here, right? You can't typing. The act of typing on a computer ultimately is kosev. Now, we'll say, v'chein asr L'shomron b'zikaron. This is great. So what does that mean? L'shomron b'zikaron? You can't save your work on a computer. Right? So today we're spoiled. Right? Today everything has autosave. You know, in the good old days, right? Remember the good old days where you actually had to actually save your work? I remember that experience that you had the first time where you forgot to save your work and your computer crashed or something. Right? Never make that mistake twice. So it's fascinating. Saving a document, right? So typing, which of course you're going to see it's a chiddush, right? Because typing, like, I'm not creating something per se. It's on a screen. Right, it's on a screen. It's not, and is that real? Is that so? Again, but nevertheless, Ramah Lamed says the act of typing on a computer, the act of saving something you wrote, is also kosev. V'chein asur l'tzalim tmunos o lahaklit kolos. This is very interesting. You can't taking pictures on Shabbos is also the malach of kosev. Fascinating, because what are you doing? What am I doing when I take a picture? I am like memorializing an image. Right, I'm memorializing is the wrong word. What am I doing? I'm, what is it? Capturing? Yeah, I'm, not solidifying. I am, okay, you understand.
Difference if it's film or digital.
Yeah. He's not being mechalic in that way. All of this, because again, the computer is digital, right? So give me. I'm sorry. Imprinting. I'm creating almost like a continuity of it. All right, it'll come to me. The right word will come to me just a moment. Perpetualizing. Yeah, perpetualizing. Right. Oh, now here's what's interesting. Oh, lahaklit kolos. Now, what does lahaklit kolos mean? It means to record sound. Now, that's very interesting. Again, we're going to come back to that. We're going to come back to the kolos. Now, here's what's interesting. So, both say, so I just want to point out, and this is what I love about Rav Melamed also, is that here, by the way, that you just see within two pages, like we're going from sources in Masechet Shabbos all the way to typing on a computer. Right? So, Rav Melamed is saying the act of typing on a computer, saving your work, right? Saving your work, taking a picture, recording voice, all of this is the Melech of Kolos. It says, ach, but here's the interesting part. These activities don't create what he calls tsuros yisivos, which essentially means tangible items. Right? Tangible items. You type on a computer, you've not created something tangible. As opposed to you write on a piece of paper, I could hold this in my hand and it's right here. Take a picture, ultimately you haven't created something tangible. So even though because these things don't create something tangible, yesh omrim shah iser medivrei chachamim. So some say that typing on a computer, saving your work, taking pictures, this is an iser derabbanon. Now again, like I said, we're not dealing with electricity right now about what that is. We're just talking from a kosher perspective. From a ksira perspective, it's only going to be iser derabbanon. If you take a look at the footnote in footnote number one, see that on the bottom page 46, amnam ledas harav al yashuv. This is very interesting. Rabbi Yashov and Rabbi Elio felt that going ahead and recording something, typing something, on a computer is an isidoraisa. They felt isidoraisa. So that's what he quotes over here in the footnote. Obviously, again, like I said, we're not stepping on the electricity issues over here. But leaving that aside. So again, just want to point out over here, the act of typing on a computer, is it an issa d'oraisa, is it an issa d'rabbanon? Ultimately, machlokas. And we'll say, you might think to yourself, like, okay, who cares? Like, it's usher. So we'll say, I tell you, this is going to come up in a dramatic way. It's going to come up in the following scenarios. In situations where halacha l'maisa, you have to write on Shabbos. A doctor has to write notes. So we'll say, so now how should he write notes? So let's just, now we're actually going to talk about this. That's our next topic. But just understand, if you hold the typing on a computer, by the way, computer sitting as a phone, typing on a computer, and there's a lot of things over here, assuming that electricity is not asur midaraisa, which is what he's presupposing over here, assuming that electricity is not asur midaraisa, one can make the argument that typing on your computer is better than writing notes. Again, I'm just pointing out, so just to understand why these things, these concepts, sometimes we learn this, we're like, what does it matter to me? Like, either way, I know I'm not writing on a piece of paper and I'm not typing on a computer. Good, shkoyach. Except there will be people who do have to write. We're going to see, he gives examples, by the way, of the army, right? The army has to write stuff down on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So what's the preferred way to write it down? So I just want to point out that if you go with the opinion, now it's a double idea. If you go with the opinion that number one, electricity is dirabanan, which we'll have to discuss. We are going to go back to it because it's actually great. If you're right, and that a computer, use of a computer is only ksiva midirabanan. So if you have to write, it could be that it's better to use a computer than it is to go to write by hand. Again, Don't go home and do this. Right. But Lamaisa, said, just keep it filed a little bit. We're going to come back to it. Good. Yes. Scrabble letters. Now, the truth is, it happens to be Eretz Yisrael is kind of like light years ahead of us with this because they have to maintain Jewish hospitals and they have to maintain a Jewish army. So in Eretz Yisrael, they actually have all this stuff worked through in a much better way, which we're going to see. Yeah, so we'll see. So in general, first of all, before we even get to that, Scrabble on Shabbos. Scrabble on Shabbos.
Whether you play the game or you're leaving a message.
Correct. arranging magnetic letters on your refrigerator, right? All these different things, writing on the window, right? Writing in the snow, all these different things are going to be situations that come up, which we'll get to in a little bit. All right, so let's at least begin. We have another minute. Let's at least begin base. Gidriya Isra Batel Nisarach Pikuach Nefesh. So this is why, interesting, by the way, also the arrangement of the sefer, what I find just very interesting about this is, you know, typical like halacha svarim, kind of going like in a progression. Rav Lamed really goes, not all over the place because it's very methodical, but the next topic he has over here is writing in situations of pikuach nefesh, right? Danger to life. So just see one paragraph, then we'll pick up with this next week. Chashivos ikronis yeshna lahagdara hamiduyakis b'chom halacha, ma'asr me'atorah u'ma medivir chachamim. In general, again, I will say, the reason why we have to learn halacha, and we have to know what is asr midoraisa and what is asr midrabanan. Why? V'yesh lekach gam hashlachos masios. Because I will say there are dramatic ramifications. L'mashal, kasher tzrichim lichto bebeis cholim obat sava letzach pikuach nefesh. When you have to write, right? Again, I will say, think about this just a moment, right? Sha'arei Tzedek Hospital, Hadassah Hospital, Laniado Hospital, Beaker Cholim Hospital. These are Jewish hospitals. So what? No one's taking any notes on Shabbos. That's a chavrut Shabbos. We're going to have to throw them out. You know what are the So what do you do? What do you do in a Jewish army, right? Which Baruch Hashem we are zochah to have. So what do you do? L'chatchila yish lema'it be'iser u'lebatzeh saksiva, page 47, ba'ofer ha'aser v'divrei chamdula. Now, here's what's interesting. Now, here's how it works with Bikuach Nefesh. Even with Pikuach Nefesh, when you can minimize the Isser involved, that is always ideal. Now, that presupposes that minimizing the Isser is not going to go ahead and in any way amplify the Pikuach Nefesh. This is very important, right? Because technically speaking, when there is a threat to life, the way we're going to Paskin is Shabbos is Hutra, which essentially means the laws of Shabbos are suspended. So therefore, again, really what that means is you do whatever you have to do to save a life on Shabbos. That being said, if there is a way to do it in a way that minimizes malacha, that's always ideal. So for our purposes, what that means is, even in a pikuach nefesh situation, if you could do dirabanans instead of the oraisas, always preferable. Always preferable. I'll just give you a very simple example like this, right? A woman in labor. Right, the woman in labor. B'shah tol mitzlachas. Woman in labor is considered to be a chola sheyesh basakana. She's considered to be in life-threatening danger. So technically speaking, right, Rachel goes into labor. Is Reuven allowed to start the car, take her to the hospital? Is he allowed to do it?
Yeah.
But what do we say? Again, if you could get in an Uber, it's much better. Right, if you could have a non-Jew drive you, that's better. Now, again, she says, I'm having this baby now. He's going through his Hilchos Shabbos, saying, well, I think, you know, we should call. Okay, so that's not called piety. That's called tipshus. That's called foolishness. Obviously, again, if she needs to go, she needs to go. And, you know, if you don't have time for it, you don't have time for it. But all things being equal, if there's time, and it doesn't matter really if he drives or if he gets the Uber, take the Uber. Why? Because obviously having the guy do a malacha for me is at most going to be a dirabanan, whereas me doing a malacha is still a malacha.
Even though you're paying?
Because that's why Uber is so good on so many levels for this, because again, since halacha l'maaseh, you can do everything from your phone, right? So remember, again, there's no money that has to exchange hand. I can utilize my phone with a shinui. So really, again, even with, I'm using electricity with a shinui, so you have a whole bunch of drabanans over here. So it makes it much better. One thing is clear, which is, if I go ahead and I start my car, that is an isra d'oraisa. Now again, If my wife is an actor, I'm allowed, and if the Uber is going to take 10 minutes and I got to go now, that's what I have to do. But all things being equal, if you could minimize the malacha, always preferable. Always preferable. So look what he writes. He says, Haksiva, one more paragraph, then we'll stop. Haksiva sha'asra Torah, hi haksiva kedarka b'yad yom. So therefore, again, whenever possible, so let's say in the hospital, in the army, writing has to get done. If you could minimize the malacha involved in the writing, certainly preferable. So therefore, he says like this. In general, what type of writing is asr? It's when you write with your right hand. In other words, meaning that a person is right-handed. So if you're a right-handed person and you write with your left hand, that is asr midrabanan. Right? Why? shinui, right? Because remember, again, the only time to go ahead and the only way to violate the malacha is if you do it in the normative way. But if you do it in a non-normative way, by definition, that relegates it to the status of a derabanan. Smali shekasa b'smal over be'isr Torah. V'mshina v'kasa b'yamin over be'isr cham. So when again, a lefty who writes with his left hand, it's a isr daraisa. But ultimately, again, but a lefty writes with his right hand, that's a derabanan. Haro'ai, what about haraga lichta of b'shtei yadav? What if someone's ambidextrous? He writes with both hands. Haksiva b'shtei yadav asura alav minat Torah. That's intuitive, right? Writing with both hands is going to be Isidore Isa. Find one last line. Hakosi kishu oches es ha'et b'shinui. Now again, what happens if you're holding the pen with a shinui? For example, kigon b'fiv. You're holding the pen in your mouth. You're writing like that. Oh, baraglo. Very talented. Right? All right? Or with your foot. Oh, be'achore yado. Or with the back of your hand. Right? The halacha is over be'isr b'divrei chachamim. So again, on both sides, so the common denominator is clear, which is any time that you're writing, ultimately in a shinui fashion, in a non-normative fashion, so halacha l'maisa, ultimately again, it's going to be draban. Okay, so we'll stop over here for tonight. We'll pick up at Meir Hashem next week. So now again, we're going to see Rav Melamed is going to suggest, so how should a doctor record his notes on Shabbos? Right? How should a soldier record his notes or record his orders, whatever the plans, on Shabbos? So we're going to see, Rabbi Lama is going to say it. And again, so one, but remember the directive, and this is very important in general, Hilchos Shabbos. Wherever there is Pikuach Nefesh, you're allowed to do whatever you have to do to address the threat to life. That being said, if you could address the threat and at the same time minimize the malacha that is done, that is always highly preferable. But the moment that minimization of halacha comes with, you know, potential amplification of the life-threatening situation, don't do that. Don't do that. Okay, so it's time for everyone to say Shkoyah. So good to restart the Chabura. So again, well, next week we're going to continue. I think after we finish Ksiva and Bechik, we'll go back to electricity because we really didn't finish at all. Shkoyah.